Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Sorry. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It was a masterful monologue by Jon Stewart. Look, I know Jon Stewart's far to the left from you and I, from most of us anyway. Some of you that are listening are right in line with them, and that's okay. It's okay. We still love you. We still love you, though. But Jon Stewart had this masterful monologue. I think he only, what does he do, a Monday night monologue now, and then he takes the rest of the week off. But Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, he's back for one night a week, and just went after Joe Biden and Joe Biden's disastrous debate performance. But more importantly, he went after, you know, Biden's handlers. And when we say handlers, we don't just mean the people that occupy the White House. We also mean the people that occupy the fake news liberal media that were still rallying around Joe Biden. People like John Tester, who is still riding with Biden, still riding with Biden. John Tester is still standing by Joe Biden. But of course, he has pledged full support to Biden's agenda. He's voted with Joe Biden 95% of the time. But here's what Jon Stewart had to say about Biden's debate performance. But there's several other key points that I want to mention as well.
But Biden's performance and inability to articulate at times was stunning. Like, I could not believe what I was watching. Just thinking about it again just makes me want to rip up my... Why do we make this out of such strong material? But then it got worse. Rather than respecting the American people and having an honest, at least partial conversation about what we had all seen, we were told immediately, these are not the droids you're looking for.
But there were a couple of key takeaways. One, I love the way that Jon Stewart went after the establishment. He went after the gerontocracy running our government, which brought up this thought that I shared via Twitter, via X earlier this morning. It's interesting how Stewart blasts the gerontocracy and the establishment. Meanwhile, in Montana, we get to have a fresh-faced Navy SEAL aerial firefighter businessman like Tim Sheehy, who isn't even 40 years old yet, and he's taking on the aging Washington fat cat, John Tester. But there was something else interesting that Jon Stewart said, and I don't know if he meant it this way. Stewart was really mad. Stewart was going after the Democrats who were saying, look, we only have 4 months until the election. That isn't enough time to run another type of an election or another type of process to select a replacement for Joe Biden, because obviously they can't just make it be Kamala Harris. So Jon Stewart was like, what? You can't run an election in 4 months? Seriously? And he asked the question, why the United States cannot seemingly run an election better than France? And again, I don't know if Jon Stewart meant to make this point, but didn't France hand count all of their paper ballots? Somehow an entire country can do it, but we've got liberals in Gallatin County that say they can't even do it in Gallatin County, let alone the whole state, whole country. Hey, we're back in studio taking your phone calls and more. I hope everybody had an incredible 4th of July holiday week/weekend. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I want to give a big thank you out there to David Noble and George Blackard for covering down on this show. But yeah, great to be back in studio with you. I know you got a lot to talk about. I know you want to be heard across Montana. And more importantly, you want to hear what other folks across Montana have to say and what they want to talk about. That's what Montana Talks is all about. We take you statewide, 9 to 10, right?
Easy.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have the phone lines open for you right now, and then coming up in just a few minutes, Don Kaye, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, is going to join us on the show and take your phone calls as well. Once a month, we catch up with Don Kaye, and field your phone calls and much more. He was supposed to join us last Friday, but we thought, it's the 4th of July holiday week, and so a lot of people maybe, you know, just enjoying some time off. So so we held it for today instead, and looking forward to having him. Of course, a lot to talk about here, not just the national stuff, local election news, and so much more. But we'll get to that here in a second. But, yeah, so John Stewart, part of his rant in his monologue this week was, okay, so France can just run their election, and they had to do a kind of a quick turnaround for I think, some of their parliamentary elections, because it was kind of chaotic because, you know, at first nobody really got a majority of the seats or whatever. So John Stewart was asking, how come the United States can't run an election better than France? And so I shared this with our buddy John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. I said, didn't France do, I know they've done it in previous elections. My assumption is they did it on this latest round of elections. Didn't they do paper ballots? I mean, last I heard, they don't have these, you know, fancy machines. And didn't they hand count said paper ballots? How can an entire country run an election like this when we've got individual counties that refuse to run an election like that? And so, again, it's, I don't think that was the point that John Stewart was trying to make, but the point was made regardless. I remember probably a couple of years ago now, one of the liberal Gallatin County commissioners, Zach Brown, he was saying, oh, come on, you can't expect us to do paper ballots for an entire county. There's no way we can do that. And I responded back to him. I said, well, the entire nation of France just did that. You can't do it in your own little county? And isn't it just crazy that here you've got these, you know, liberal Gallatin County commissioners that can vote themselves a pay raise, but then tell you all the things they can't do? You know, it's like, yeah, give us more money, pay us more money. But then when you ask them to do things, wow, we can't really do that. It's not really my lane. Too busy for that. You know, but then they still have time and money to do all the things you don't want them to do, and onerous regulations, et cetera. But that was the one point. And then the other point, you know, John Stewart was really going after this gerontocracy, which, if you want to know what the definition of the word gerontocracy is, he was basically going after the fact that, you know, look at just the age of most of our United States senators. And certainly with Joe Biden, it's not just a question about his age, it's a question about his competency right now. Donald Trump is practically the same age as Joe Biden, but there's not questions about Donald Trump's competency because clearly he is still firing on all cylinders. In fact, he was firing on all cylinders yesterday in Doral, Florida. What did he have to say about Joe Biden? Let me see. Let me crank up the audio on it just a second for you here. Here was President Trump at a big rally. I think 45,000 people attended the Trump rally in Doral, Florida yesterday.
You ever hear Biden?
He's a threat to democracy. He doesn't even know what the hell the term is. Trump is a threat to democracy. This guy. Low IQ. He's a low IQ individual. But they are lying in the entire world of Joe Biden's condition.
All right. Yeah, there you go. By the way, Donald Trump challenged Joe Biden to a friendly game of golf, and Joe Biden declined after talking all that trash about his golf game in the debate, after challenging Trump to a round of golf back in March. Joe Biden has now refused to play Donald Trump in a friendly round of golf, and he is saying nothing, apparently, about Trump's challenge for a second debate. You would think Joe Biden would want a second debate. He would want a chance to try to redeem himself, unless he knows that he's just going to be digging himself an even deeper hole the more he is shown in live, unedited TV. Speaking of the whole, disastrous debate performance by Joe Biden, Greg Franks sent this to me earlier this morning here. It was a tweet by Charlie Kirk, who by the way, Charlie Kirk is in Montana, or at least he was in Montana. I just saw a photo of him at Governor Greg Gianforte's house yesterday, so that's pretty cool. Welcome to Big Sky Country. Welcome back to Big Sky Country to Charlie Kirk. Just a great conservative commentator and more. Yet this tweet from Charlie Kirk, it was a CNN segment with Senator Michael Bennett, who is a Democrat out of Colorado. Michael Bennett got outed by the media for saying privately that Joe Biden is on track to lose badly to Donald Trump. And then Charlie Kirk says this: Senator Bennett went on CNN to own his comments publicly. Respect. This is an absolutely brutal clip if you are inside the Biden White House right now. But this is a good point. So Charlie Kirk is saying, hey, I respect Senator Bennett out of Colorado for saying publicly what he was reported to have said privately. Guess who else was reportedly said to have said privately that Joe Biden is going to lose to Donald Trump? Flip-flop, flat-top, liberal Senator John Tester. But see, John Tester doesn't have the courage to say that publicly. John Tester doesn't have the courage to come on a radio show like this and take your phone calls. But Don Kay does. He'll be with us next.
Yeah, I go.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, real quick before we jump into the conversation with Don Kay, I mentioned France. France, hand-counting paper ballots. Well, there's also Argentina. In fact, Elon Musk shared this from End Wokeness. Argentina hand-counted 99.9% of their 27 million paper ballots in less than 6 hours. Elon Musk says this should be a requirement. If Argentina can do it, so can America. Let's see. I was reminded of that one because I wanted to go back into my X.com account here because I saw a great tweet from Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, earlier this morning. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. It was this Washington Examiner story. 52 states. Chuck Schumer promising statehood for Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Don Kay says this, this and the expansion of the Supreme Court is what could be at stake in the Sheehy versus Tester matchup. We must retire Tester for the good of America. We must not fail. Don Kay, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. And it really is great to be here as we get ready to go over to the convention and get fired up to reelect President Trump and get him back in the White House. And, you know, our delegation is going to be heading out. Some of them are already there for the platform committee, and most of us will be flying out Sunday, and we'll be there for the week. And you'll be able to catch us on Thursday night, I think, is going to be televised. You'll see Christy Jacobson will be the one that is given the delegate count for us for our President Trump and our 47th president. We're working towards for this going forward. So we're real fired up to get there to Milwaukee.
Hey, that's very cool. That's right. Yeah, we should actually start there before we get into the rest of this stuff. Let's start there. Yeah, I saw our friend Chris Shipp was on the platform committee. I saw he's already out there on the ground in Milwaukee. I really wanted to join you guys for the convention. I wanted to broadcast live from the convention all week next week, but I'm just like, man, I better stay back here in studio. But that being said, if you've got folks that are back there during the convention,
that would make great guests to join us on the radio, or just encourage people to call in when we have open phones. We can provide some coverage that way as well. 20 years ago at the 2004 conventions, I got to work for NBC's Today Show for both the Democrat and the Republican national conventions, and it's just an incredible time. I mean, it's crazy, the people that you get a chance to rub elbows with, the people that you will run into. I mean, at the Democrat one, of course, I ran into people like Tom Brokaw and, Sean Puff Daddy Combs was there. But then at the Republican one, it's like, oh, there's Kid Rock and, and there's the whole Bush family. It's an incredible experience, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, frankly, to witness that process in person.
Yeah, it really is. You know, rubbing shoulders, we're going to have all 50 states and six territories. You know, they're going to be critical in nominating the party's pick for president. And we'll know who the vice president is. That'll be a big announcement, it looks like, in Milwaukee. So we're looking really forward to that. And, I'm sure you guys have been beating us up on the radio with Joe Biden and his disastrous, his disastrous job on that debate with Trump. Oh my gosh! And if Biden stays in the race, he's going to lose to President Trump. If Kamala Harris becomes the candidate, they're going to lose to President Trump even worse. You know, the entire Democrat Party, including Montana, is complicit in the cover-up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline and failures of this administration. It's really sad. You know, I as a Republican, I was feeling bad for President Biden. I really was. I mean, he was just way out of touch. And, guys like John Tester, who I'm sure you've seen the clips, was telling us not that long ago how Joe Biden was great. You know, everybody's overblown this thing about his cognitive abilities, et cetera. He just, completely flip-flopped on that. Now he's calling for, Biden to prove that he is good enough to run for president and what have you. You know, the whole Democrat Party is complicit of it. And who is running America? I mean, Montanans and people across America have got to be wondering right now, who is running the United States of America? And the only people I can come up with, because looking what's going on, is far left policies. And John Tester is a big part of that. You know, the other thing that I wanted to point out is what you just led into, Aaron, during, when you were talking about the tweet. You know, Jeff, this is not conspiracy theory. I have the article right there for you guys to look at. He has said that he's going to, if he has the power to do it, if they get rid of the filibuster too now, because they can do that. The only thing that saved us from that already is Manchin and Sinema. And as you have pointed out, they kicked them out of the party. So we really have to understand that John Tester is not Manchin or Sinema. He's going to go with the Democrats. We're going to end up with 52 states. If they get the power, we don't get the job done this election. Montana's a big, big part of that. And we may end up with more people on the Supreme Court so they can make it very liberal, which we don't have right now. And another reason we need to elect President Trump. And, and the filibuster that's been going on since this country was created. So there's just a lot at stake on this election.
Yeah, that's a great question you ask about who's actually running this country, because more and more folks in the liberal media, more and more Democrats are coming out and saying that Joe Biden is not with it, and that he cannot be there, should not be their candidate, that he can't handle another 4 years. But then why can he handle another 4 to 7 months? Right. It's like, why would they keep him on the job as president? If they don't think he can do the job right now, then why is he still doing the job right now? But yeah, you're right. John Tester made it very clear. He is still riding with Biden. He's been riding with Biden. you know, every single step of the way, shutting down union jobs and more. Real quick, Don Kay, I wanted to get your take. So is that what you're hearing about Trump's vice presidential pick, that he will make that big announcement at the GOP convention next week? Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I'm hearing. We're really looking forward to seeing who that's going to be. I really don't know who it is going to be. I would like to see, if it was somebody asked me, I'd like Ben Carson. You know, I think he would be a great pick. You know, he's kind of like the anti-Trump. You know, he's more, you know, kind of measured. He's very loyal. I think he'd be good with Trump. You know, he's got a lot of opportunities. He's kind of the outside guy that might be interesting, although I don't know if he knows enough about foreign policy to make it work. But Vivek would kind of bring in a lot of younger people. And, you know, we need, just like Tim Sheehy, you know, you want to talk about Tim Sheehy. Tim Sheehy's a younger guy. We need to get the old guys, kind of like me, out of these positions. You know, like Kester and I are about the same age. He's been there 18 years, time to go. And get some of these young guys in that want to serve. They want to serve. Guys that are from your era, that, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, and et cetera.
Yeah, we need more veterans in leadership. I think that's clear. That's what we had with the World War II generation. We had, you know, we had men and women that stepped up. Maybe they served, you know, in D-Day, or maybe they served, you know, women back home and, you know, building our industrial base while the boys were overseas, or they were nurses or whatever. You know, but we had that leadership, that tried and tested leadership, that humility that they received during that combat, tours, et cetera, that became leaders in American business, that became leaders in Washington. And we frankly, you know, by and large, don't have much of that anymore. And so it's time for that younger generation. Yeah, I think, I don't know if you heard me talking about John Stewart's monologue, where he went after Joe Biden and all the people that are still riding with Biden in the midst of all this. But he complained about the gerontocracy, basically, you know, old folks running this country right now. Frankly, running this country into the ground. And so it's like, yeah, in Montana, we have a clear contrast here. We've got a fresh-faced Navy SEAL in Tim Sheehy, who's proven himself in business, you know, versus a Washington, D.C. fat cat like John Tester, who's been riding with Biden every step of the way.
Exactly. You know, we have to all agree that Washington has changed John Tester. You know, he went from a music teacher slash hobby farmer, if you will, to being a, you know, entrenched in the swamp. You know, he's been wined and dined by D.C.'s most powerful for nearly two decades. What was that number? $1.2 million worth of, you know, restaurants around D.C.? I mean, how do you do that? You know, he pretends to be this dirt farmer from Big Sandy. But if you go to Big Sandy, and I this is something your listeners will find very interesting, Aaron. I know some candidates that were knocking doors during the primary, and the people in Big Sandy don't like John Tester.
They know
don't
him.
Like him as a person.
They know him.
Not only his politics, but they don't like him as a person. They like his wife, but they don't like him. Very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I saw a video, I think it was on Instagram, and it was a huge, huge big event supporting Tim Sheehy in Big Sandy, Montana. And, his neighbors know him. They know the real John Tester. And I think the rest of Montanans are finally starting to wake up and see the real John Tester for who he is. But, yeah, everything he campaigned on in 2006, he has completely done the opposite, and he has embraced the opposite. Forever wars, massive federal government debt, you name it. Quick break. Back with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All
Well, we haven't even talked about old Fussy Bussy yet. Old Ryan Bussy. He's one of the guys behind the Climate Kids lawsuit. He already said he'd support Joe Biden. He was an advisor on Joe Biden's 2020 campaign. His wife got a boatload of cash from the Biden for President campaign. Ryan Bussey's been a radical left-wing nut job for a long time, if you've seen him on Twitter. But he is the Democrat candidate for governor, a gun grabber running for governor. Don, you asked a very good question. The Montana GOP put out this press release saying, hey, does Ryan Bussey still stand by? Is he still riding with Biden?
Yeah, you know, he is. He's an embarrassment. The reason we don't even talk about him is he's so far behind. Governor Gianforte has done such a solid job. We've got Democrats supporting him, you know, moderate Democrats. We have, you know, common sense Montanans supporting him. You know, Bussey is so far out there, it's ridiculous. He's a total gun grabber. You know, that great candidate, Democrats, putting an anti-2A guy in as your candidate for governor. Can you imagine if he actually won, you know, became our governor? He'd be the worst governor ever. And it would make history, you know, and it's an embarrassment. And it just shows you how the Democrat Party has imploded in Montana. If that's your best candidate, look at all of them. You know, look at Trinnell against Ryan Zinke. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is so far out there. It's unbelievable. She doesn't understand that boys are boys and girls are girls. She wants boys to compete in girls' sports.
So does Tester.
Out of Montana Valley.
Yeah, so does Tester. Yeah. Yeah, they're whole.
And so does Tester, and so do all of them, and that's why they're imploding in Montana. And, you know, we just got to stand up for what Montanans believe in, and we'll be fine, in my view. You know, talking about Tester, you know, going back to him, you know, I know there's a lot of veterans out there that are supporters of John Tester that are Republicans, because most veterans are, not all, but most of them. And they're supportive of Senator Tester. But I want you to think about something. You know, the VA, Tester's responsible for that broken VA and the fact that many Montana veterans can't even get the care they need in a timely manner, yet they still support him. You know, on Tester's watch, only veteran communities experienced record levels of suicide, and illegal immigrants are taking priority over homeless veterans. And you know, all the other things we talked about with Tester, we can't just even look at veteran things. It's you know, unbelievable. How can you support somebody that is F-rated by the NRA? I mean, Bussey is F-rated by the NRA, as we just talked about, but Tester and his radical left party are trying to take our 2A rights away, and Sheehy, on the other hand, is A-rated by the NRA. So, you know, Montana's just been on the wrong track under Tester's leadership.
It's an easy contrast, such an easy contrast.
Really,
well, Don, another thing that I think the one message that you've been really good about sending in the past is, look, folks, you can't take things for granted. I remember back when everybody was talking about a red wave in 2022, Don Kay was saying, wait a minute, guys. Hey, don't you take things for granted. So, Don, hold that thought, because I want to get to that as well, but let's get to a caller on the phone lines here. Is this Alan in the Flathead? Alan, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Aaron. Good morning, Don Kay.
Yeah, we'll get his response here shortly. Yeah, go ahead. I just have one of you queued up at a time. It's easier to hear you that way. Sorry.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, from the primary elections on the results in the Secretary of State office, it was pretty clear the distinction between the president and most of the statewide offices as far as the conservative vote. But when you look at the primary results for Tester and Sheehy, it was basically a dead heat. And it just seems odd to me. That's kind of a weird discrepancy, and I don't know what the Republican Party plans to do about that discrepancy where you got on the conservative Republican side, but then when it comes to this Senate race, it's a virtual tie. And what, I know the primary...
What do you mean by dead heat? Are you talking about, like, the election results, or are you talking about the polling being a dead heat?
I'm talking about the election results.
They weren't a dead heat. They weren't a dead...
They were pretty close, though.
How close?
It seemed to me like, I didn't memorize the numbers, but they were both in the 55,000 count range.
Oh, no. There was a massive gap. Tim Sheehy had far more votes. I'll pull up the actual numbers, though, because Evan Wilson is one of the smartest guys I know. But either way, it's a good question, because even if I could revise your question, if you don't mind, Alan, and Alan, thanks for the call, I would revise it in this way. Okay, Republicans performed incredibly well with turnout in the primary elections. Now, Democrats will gain ground in the general election. That's when more of their voters will typically show up if they don't show up in the primary. But, man, Evan Wilson. Well, Don Kay, you know my friend Evan Wilson. He's a pollster, the national polling firm. He's the son of the late Dr. Craig Wilson, who was the political science at MSU Billings. Evan knows his numbers, and Evan is like, wow. These are the worst numbers John Tester has ever put up, going all the way back to 2006. These were very bad numbers. But nonetheless, the polling still shows, I think, Sheehy up 3 points. Sometimes it's tied. I don't know. What are you hearing about polling? What's your thoughts?
Okay, so let's start with Alan's question. Alan, I asked you to go to the Secretary of State site and look this up, but I'm going by memory, but I think I'm pretty close because this is stuff that I look at all the time. If you just take Tim Sheehy's vote, just pure vote, who voted for Tim Sheehy, and he got 75% of the Republican vote, not all of it, the other 25 I'm not even going to talk about right now, and you look at what Tester got, and he got 97% of the Democrat vote, Tim Sheehy, I believe, got 56%. So he beat him by 13 points there, I believe is the math. So at the end of the day, we're definitely doing well, as Aaron just said. Polling is anywhere from even to plus six is what I've seen. Sheehy plus six, believe it or not. John Tester has never, ever been behind in the polls until maybe the last week. I think Rosendale maybe was up by one or something like that the last time around. But he's never been behind, not this early. So this is a good sign for us. Mm-hmm. That being said, I got to tell you something. As I've said before, and Aaron mentioned it, the only way we're going to win up and down the ballot in November is with your help, Alan, people like you. You want to know what the MTGOP is doing? We have a ground game, and we are making it happen. I'm not going to give our tactics out across the air, but we're going to make it happen. But we're only going to win with volunteer help. And if you want to get involved in this election, Alan, and want to help us, I encourage you to go to the MTGOP website, mtgop.org, and learn about our volunteer opportunities. We need to go door to door. We need to talk to our neighbors about what we're talking about on the radio, make sure that John Tester is outed for the person that he is. We got to make phone calls. We got to, talk to people on the ground. We got to collect signatures for petitions. You know, we need to help register voters. There's a lot of inactive voters and people that are moving into our community that share our conservative values. We cannot take this for granted. This is huge for all the reasons we talked about, that John Tester is locked in with the left. But for the last few minutes, if it's okay, Aaron, I'd like to talk about...
I was going to say, yeah, we've only got about 90 seconds because I know you got to run here at our 50 break. So, yeah, go ahead. You wanted to talk about Sheehy the man.
I want to talk about Tim Sheehy. So Tim Sheehy is a man that we got to look at something here. He's a guy that moves to Montana. He wants to be in Montana. He wasn't born here, but he wants to be here. What did he do when he got here? Well, he has a family, his wife, a United States Marine. He has children. They're homeschooling him. Has conservative values. Good guy. What does he do when he gets here? He starts a cattle ranch that takes calves to all the way to slaughter. That nobody else is doing that. So he's doing an experimental thing. That's an agricultural thing. He gets involved in ag, which is big in Montana. Now, what's the rest is big in Montana. That's right, public lands. We all agree that public lands should stay in public hands. It's a big part of our heritage. And
yeah, I mean,
he started.
We could just go on and on and on, and then we could go on and on about the failures of John.
We could go on and on and talk about the failures of John Tester over these past near two decades as well. Don K., thanks for your time. Appreciate it. All right, we'll get to your phone calls next. After break.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
House Democrats have launched a united effort against an election integrity bill that would require voters to prove citizenship. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would they be against that? You know, just like, why would you be against voter ID and signature verification? I promise you, for me to get credentialed for the RNC convention next week and for the DNC convention the week after, I will need to be credentialed. To get credentialed, I need an identification. That would come in the form of my Florida license. Here's my ID, and I gladly present it to them.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey guys, breaking news. Did you hear that gold hit an all-time high? And based on market analysis, it could soar even higher. With inflation increasing, global tensions escalating, and central banks buying gold at record levels, the gold boom could skyrocket to over $7,000 an ounce. In fact, experts claim that the gold investing madness is just getting started. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who have diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Join the tens of thousands of people who have already joined the gold rush and diversified their savings with gold and silver. Call 855-815-GOLD now. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D now. Now.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work. Those who use a social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, we may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 27-28 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Candytown, USA. 1025 Shiloh Crossing. Montana's largest candy store.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, if I don't get to you here in the next few minutes, then definitely call back in later in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have the phone lines open for you. But yeah, real quick, I tried to pull these up on my stupid smartphone a few minutes ago. I went to the election results. Yeah, just going back to the caller from the Flathead. It was not neck and neck. Yeah, I pulled up the actual primary election results. Tim Sheehy pulled in almost 140,000 votes in the primary, and John Tester only pulled in 104,000 votes. So it is, I studied journalism at the University of Montana, so if I was better at math, I would have been an engineering student at MSU. So somebody else do the math for me. That's a lot of votes. Not only that, but Yeah, there were some people who threw their vote away in the Republican primary because maybe they wanted somebody else and whatever. But I imagine they'll all come around in the general election. And so when you look at total Republican votes in the primary, 190,000 total votes to 107,000 total votes in the Democrat primary. And my friend Evan Wilson says this is a massive deficit for John Tester to overcome. All right, let's go to Greg in Whitefish. Greg, thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Three quick points. I was a smoke jumper. I jumped a fire in 1988 on Sheehy Land, John Sheehy, just above Tester's property. And I reached out to Tim through an email to suggest that he hammer the connection he's got with the Sheehy name, especially in the Big Sandy area. Haven't heard anything from him, but I hope he does that. Because he's got to be related to John. John passed. But second point, a lot of the farmers and ranchers in the area stopped and thanked us for stopping this fire at, I think it was like 500-600 acres. And I wrote down the names because I thought I might go back deer hunting up there. And Tester, guaranteed, was not one of them. He neighbor came up and thanked us. We heard from a lot of people, local. Then the other third point, I've been living in Montana for 60 years, and I think I qualify as a Montanan. And the reason Tester is winning the battle of some Republicans is because they buy into the he's a Montanan, and Tim isn't, just because he was born here.
Even though Tester's been gone for, you know, pert near 20 years now and has totally sold this state out. Well, thanks for your service as a smoke jumper. That's absolutely incredible.
I want to make that last point real quick, if I could.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people over the state, and especially from Big Sandy, because I hunt in that area. I have never heard one person, have a good thing to say about John Tester, the locals.
You know,
I know there's got to be one somewhere.
You mentioned,
I don't know who it is.
You mentioned all the people that thanked you for what you did as a smoke jumper, saving their land, right, back then. Could you imagine if Tim Sheehy was a Democrat candidate going against a Republican incumbent? Tim Sheehy literally flew aerial firefighting airplanes and saved people's homes. I've gotten emails from people who said, he saved my house. His company saved my house. If he was a Democrat, there would be wall-to-wall feature stories on every TV news station for months talking about, he saved my home. But they don't do that because he's a Republican candidate. Instead, they falsely jump in on the fake news narratives. But yeah, if he was a Democrat, oh, my goodness. I mean, there would be a documentary film already about him that they would be promoting every night. You know what I mean? It's just like, golly. Hey, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Tom in Billings. Let's see. We got like 30 seconds to go. Tom, what do you want to share?
Yes, sir. Tim Sheehy, doesn't matter if he's from Montana or not. I mean, I'm from Montana. I did 18 combat missions in Iraq. I run political campaigns. Tim Sheehy, if this state started burning, he would probably jump in a helicopter himself or a plane himself, or his wife would jump in one.
Yeah, and that's not hypothetical. He's already done it. He's already been doing it. That's what, I mean, where do you think he was last summer when they first started talking about him? He was up in the air fighting the fire.